Johnson family with us today. So I believe John is going to sing for us, and then he'll be presenting the message. So we appreciate the ministry today.
I forgot to ask questions after the video. So maybe if anybody has a quick question before we go forward. I've had visitors, and churches has continued to move forward, and so we're excited about we're going to be heading back in July, Lord willing, and Lord willing to be able to go back and work with them, and hopefully start another church here in the near future. So if you'll continue to pray for us, we want to say thank you to the church for all your prayers and support over the years, and thank you for your partnership in helping us be, and we'll tell you about a few things on the table here in just a second. I'm going to sing a song, one of my favorite hymns, and hopefully it's a blessing to you. How great thou art.
God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burdens gladly bearing, he bled and he died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with a shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great. love that song just because of the fact that it talks about how great God is and there's nothing that He can't do. Amen? After the service, if you'll come by, make sure you grab a prayer card. And we have some Japanese peanuts on the table, too, if you want to grab some Japanese peanuts from Mexico. That might sound strange, but it's true. You can go to any store in Mexico and find Japanese peanuts. They're peanuts with a hard outer shell and just a little bit of a spice to them. So check them out. We also have, we have some candy canes I had left over from Christmas. So if you want a little candy cane, you can grab a candy cane. And there's a couple little Mexican little things, wooden toys and whatever you can check on the table. And we also have our music. As I said earlier, there's two different cards there. The white card, you can get a free song. There's a code on the card. If you got the card, you can look at it with me. I don't have one here with me. There's a little code on the bottom, and if you have a smartphone, then you can just scan it with a free app. You can scan the code, and the song will pop up on your phone, and then you can save it if you want, if you like it. And if you don't like it, you can just delete it. No big deal. But if you don't have a smartphone and you have a dumb phone, okay, then there is a code there. You can go on the internet and get the song as well. So you can avail yourself to that. Now, our music. We have five different English CDs. The one I'm out of order on, but there's four back there. And this one here is I Will Go. It has a lot of hymns on it. Unfortunately, I never recorded How Great Thou Art. And it's one of my favorite hymns, and I never recorded it. I'd like to try to record something this year, because it's been 15 years since our first CD. And so celebrate 15 years and put out another CD. But I'm working on it. We'll see if it comes out. And if I do, How Great Thou Art will be on that one, for sure. But this has a lot of hymns on it, and songs you will recognize. Our first CD. How many of you remember laying around a house somewhere? You have one of our CDs. You threw them all away, huh? Okay, all right. Well, just kidding. But my first two CDs, I sing by myself, and then the Sim CD, and then this one here is our latest CD. My wife sings with me, and this has a lot of good songs on here. With a good message, and you can check those out. And then there's also two CDs from my sister, my nieces and nephews. They did two different CDs, and also two in Spanish. Does anybody speak Spanish? No? Okay, we can take them off the table real quick. Don't worry about that. All right. But if you know somebody who speaks Spanish, there's two Spanish CDs as well. So there's variety to choose from. Now, all of our CDs are donation. We've always tried to just be a blessing to people. And so if you want a CD, all you have to do is put something in the bucket. That's our rule. You have to put something in the bucket. All right? The Holy Spirit's watching. I'm kidding. You can put whatever you want in the bucket. Take a CD. If you want various CDs and you would like to ask us, we'll give you an idea of a good amount for the amount of CDs that you want to take. All right. Let's take our Bibles, and we'll turn to the book of 2 Kings. We'll turn to the Old Testament, 2 Kings. And again, thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Church, for the opportunity to come back by and give an update to the church. Our kids will come up from the nursery here when we're done, and you'll be able to talk to them. After the service, we'll be available in the back if you have any other questions or anything about the ministry, about Mexico, and we'll be glad to try to help you with that. Thank you so much for your prayers and support, it's appreciated. 2 Kings chapter number 7. 2 Kings, the 7th chapter. Fighting a little bit of a cold here, so I had a couple notes that I didn't hit too well on the song, and hopefully the message won't go the same way. Then a couple. Anyway. Then Elisha said, verse number 1, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, in the gate of Samaria. Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. And there were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die. Let's pause there. We're going to look at this passage of Scripture about how in one day period of time that God changed the circumstances. And notice that in this story, these 4 leprous men find the Syrian army had gone, and they began to go into the different tents and eat and take things. And drop with me down to verse number 9, and we'll read those other verses here in just a moment. But for the sake of time right now, verse number 9. Then they said one to another, We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, holding our peace. Holding our peace on a day of good news. Holding our peace on a day of good news. Let's pray and ask God to guide us, and we'll take a look at this passage of Scripture. Heavenly Father, I ask that you'll take my voice, and pray that you'll give me the strength to deliver this message that you've laid upon my heart. I pray that it will encourage us, strengthen us, and Lord, we thank you ahead of time for what you're going to do. In Christ Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. All right. Before we look at this passage of Scripture, let's get some background as to what's been going on. The book of 2 Kings is the book where we begin to see the ministry of Elisha the prophet in the beginning part of 2 Kings. And before Elisha was the prophet Elijah. And so in the first couple chapters we see the transition from Elijah to Elisha. And Elijah had done miracles, and one of the greatest prophets that the nation of Israel had, many of us have heard of Elijah. And supposedly the scripture records 7 miracles that Elijah had performed. But then comes along Elisha. And Elisha was following in the footsteps of Elijah, preparing for ministry. And Elisha said, I want a double portion of your power. He realized that God was going to give him the authority to become a prophet, and he had been studying in the school of the prophets, and so he said to Elijah, I want a double portion of your power. And Elijah said, Well, if you see God take me, then you will get a double portion. And so Elijah would not let Elijah go, and Elisha followed Elijah around. And in a very short period of time, God took Elijah, and Elisha was present. And so the Bible records that Elisha did double the miracles, 14 miracles. And Elisha was granted double portion of the power of God. And Elisha, in verse number 6, we see in verse number 8, Chapter 6, verse number 8. The prophets interceded to God on behalf of the nation, And so they delivered God's messages and so forth. And in chapter 6, verse number 8, then the king of Syria warred against Israel. The king of Syria. The Syrians were a nation that were very cruel, like the Romans. They were very cruel, and they warred against Israel. And the Bible says that they took counsel, the king of Syria took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God, Elisha, sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. So Elisha shared the battle plans of the king of Syria with the king of Israel. That's a good advantage, right? We talked about that in Sunday school. A king getting ready to go to war, he's gonna check everything first. Well, the king of Syria began to get angry because, well, he sent, verse number 10, to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. So this was repeated going on, that the king of Syria, whatever he plans he shared, God gave it to Elisha, and Elisha gave it to the king of Israel. And they couldn't gather, they couldn't get ground, so to speak, on the nation of Israel. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And, of course, we know that it wasn't that way. One of the servants said, none, my lord, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. Wow. As you continue to read this chapter, you'll see that there became dire straits in the city of Samaria, and there was great famine. And part of the famine was Syria was holding the goods. Syria was not allowing Israel to get goods, and so as a result, there was great famine, and the nation of Israel was suffering. And so then we get to chapter 7, and the nation of Israel, Elisha says, tomorrow the famine will be broken, and you will see that fine flour should be sold for a shekel. And in fact, the famine had become so bad that verse number 29 of chapter 6 says that a woman boiled her son to eat her son because there was no food. That's how bad off the famine was. Okay? And yet, Elisha said, in one day, everything will be reversed. Everything will be changed. Wow. We just sang about how great and how great God is. Amen? And so, what's interesting, one of the men said, mockingly, if God should open up the windows of heaven, this can't be. That's a challenge to God Almighty. And the prophet says right away, on behalf of God, you're going to see it, but you won't taste it. You're going to see it with your eyes, but you're not going to survive it. Wow. And then the story shifts to the four leprous men, and that's where we're going to focus on the four leprous men. And so here's these four leprous men. They're sitting at the gate, and they began to speak among themselves. And notice that they begin to say to one another, why sit we here until we die? We're going to die. There's no hope. Death is imminent. And so we only have two options. And we're going to pick which one we think is the better option, the better chance that we're not going to die. But pretty much, we're just counting on dying. So, they say their options. Well, their options were, if they go into the city, the famine's in the city, we're going to die. And if we go unto the Syrians, they have food. And so it's only basically a risk that the Syrians will accept us as Jews. And lepers, nonetheless, which are, you know, looked upon as dirty, unclean. You know, the laws for the lepers were they, when they were diagnosed with leprosy, they had to live on the outside of the camp. They couldn't be with the rest of the people. That's why they're at the gate of the city. They couldn't be inside the city. So here's these four lepers there. And I think we could easily say the scripture indicates to us that leprosy is a representation of sin in scripture. That we can apply this, so to speak, that these four men, we could say that, like, we are in our sin, we're looking at our situation, and there's not any hope. There's not any hope. If we try to go to God, well, we're sinners, and we're going to die and go to hell. But if we go to the Syrians, well, there's a chance. So people turn to all kinds of other things for the hope that they're going to be able to survive, right? But there's really not much hope. They can't expect anything. And really, when you look at the sin, what it does to mankind, the Bible says we're dead in our trespasses and sins. And there we are, we're sinners, undone, without Christ, dead in our trespasses and sins. And if we could talk among ourselves, we would say there's no hope. We're going to die. And that is the end result of sin, is it not? For the wages of sin is, so without much hope, they decide that they're going to go into the camp of the Syrians. And so verse number 5, they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. No one. How did that happen? Well, verse number 6 says, the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. So the Syrians, God caused them to believe that Israel had made a league with an alliance with the Egyptians and the Hittites. And the Syrians felt like they couldn't win. But not only did they feel like they couldn't win, but the Bible says that they became so scared, so to the point where they didn't feel hope, that the Bible says they left everything. In verse number 7, they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses, their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. Wow. See, the only way, as naturally speaking, the guy that said, even if God opened up the windows of heaven, this is not possible. The only way was for God to do it. And that was the blasphemy of this man that said, even if God intervened, this couldn't be. Well, that's putting a limit on what God is and what he can do, because there's nothing that he can't do. Amen? And so then the lepers come to the uttermost part of the camp, verse 8, and they went into a tent, and they did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Now, we can see that when these lepers thought that their death was imminent, God provided a miracle. And now they have food. Now they have life. They survive. They have life. But what they begin to do is they begin to just enjoy it. They begin to eat and drink. And they begin to say, well, you know,
we're gonna make sure we put some of this aside, and they begin to hide some garments and hide some goods so that they can come back in the future. See, they were scared that somebody might come along, so they began to hide some stuff.
But then they said one to another, "We do not well. We're not well. Why? Well, today is a day of good tidings. But we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us, and therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household."
They decided that they would take the initiative. They figured if we wait too long, somebody's going to come upon us, and we're going to be in trouble. So we're going to take the initiative, and we're not well holding our peace. So we're going to go tell the king, because the whole nation deserves to know. And so, they do. They came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, "We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were." And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. And the story continues that they go and they check it out, and of course it was true. And then in verse number 16, the people went and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And the king appointed the Lord, on whose hand he leaned, to have the charge of the gate. And the people trode upon him in the gate, and he died, as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. And it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, "Two measures of barley for a shekel, and a measure of fine flour for a shekel, shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. And that Lord answered the man of God, said, "Now behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, might such a thing be?" And he said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof." And so it fell out upon him, unto him, for the people trode upon him in the gate, and he died. What a tremendous story. These four lepers found the jackpot. They found food. But you see, God's intention was not for this good news to stay put with only a few lepers in the camp of the Syrians. God didn't intend that only just a few people would benefit. In fact, God told the prophet beforehand that the whole nation, the famine would be broken. So just like those four lepers, when we come to Christ through the miracle of salvation, and we stumble upon the riches of God Almighty, we stumble upon life and food and raiment and blessings, and yes, God is good. And most importantly, He's given us eternal life and eternal riches with Christ. But God's intention is not just that we, as some poor lepers, enjoy the benefits of so great a salvation, but that we share the good news. See, just like these lepers, we do not well if we hold our peace. It's our responsibility to share the good news. That's what the gospel is. We're committed to preach the gospel. The gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ died and was buried. And so, just like these lepers, they said, "Today is a day of good news, and we hold our peace. We do not well." And I submit to you that we do not well when we know the truth, when we have the blessing of eternal life, and we hold our peace. And we are enjoying it, like we saw in Sunday school, what God commanded us to do, to be witnesses, to is broken. The bondage has been broken. Christ has freed man from the law, from trying to be religious and doing good works. Christ has freed us and given us eternal life through faith in what He did, sacrificing on the cross of Calvary. And we're commanded. And we ought to sit and sometimes come to the realization like these four lepers. Yeah. We do not well. We should go tell the good news. Because that's what God's intended purpose is. That's what God's intended purpose is. You know, there was a story about a fireman who, they went to a fire. And instead of getting out at the fire, he was in the fire truck trying to figure out a new MP3 player that he had gotten and how to operate it. And his family had given him. And it's very likely that he could have helped his expertise, his studies, to be a fireman, to go into the fire and rescue people out of the fire. How do we feel about that? Would we feel like the fireman forsook his responsibility if a family died in the fire while he's sitting on the fire truck playing with a toy? Of course we would be in outrage if that happened. He socially is responsible to help people get out of fires, and he was irresponsible. He should be held accountable for his actions. But yet, people are dying and going to hell. And we sometimes overlook our responsibility to say a word, to share a gospel tract, to tell somebody else about Christ. We've all done it. We would think that fireman should be held responsible. Well, I think that we ought to realize that Christ didn't die for a select few. He died for that all may come to repentance. Not everybody's going to be saved. But they're not going to be saved if we're sitting around enjoying the benefits and not sharing the good news. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer. Just a simple story, a simple thought. Are we holding our feet? Somebody else is depending upon you. We get wrapped up in our lives, in our activities, and that we lose sight of the fact that we're enjoying the benefits of eternal life when there's people around us that aren't going to enjoy eternal life. But as the Bible says, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Heavenly Father, I pray that as the pastor comes to finish the invitation, that you would help us to be sensitive to your Spirit and to testify and tell others the good news of what you did for them on the cross of Calvary. Lord, all of us need to be reminded of our responsibility. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Pastor?
You've heard the message. And certainly we know that it's true that we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ need to be spreading the good news to others, just like these lepers, that they had the good news and for a while kept it to themselves. But there came the time when they realized that it was necessary to go and to rescue others from this terrible situation. And we all know people that need to be saved. We have loved ones and friends and family that we need to certainly be praying for continually and speaking to them when we have the opportunity and reaching out to others as well. So I'm sure that each one of us know that, and yes, sometimes, as he said, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to speak to those that you know are the best, really. And yet, we certainly desire to see them come to Christ. And so we need to renew our efforts and reach out to others. Tonight we have the kids' club, and we want to reach these children and their parents. And I hope that invite folks out, that they might come, and that we can give them under the sound of the gospel. And hopefully the Lord will work in their hearts, you know. Thing is, we can't save anybody, but we can tell them how to be saved, can't we? And so I trust that we'll do that. Let's have a word of prayer together. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your salvation, and thank you, Lord, for the message this morning, and thank you that you are working in the hearts of people. And we just pray that each one of us will make that decision in our hearts today, that we might carry the gospel to somebody. Some loved one, some neighbor, some friend, some acquaintance, somebody we work with. Lord, we just pray, give us the courage and wisdom and understanding to spread the good news to others, that they might come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. May your holy, precious will be done, we pray. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to receive an offering today for the Allensons. So I'm going to ask the men, if they would, to come forward, please, and we'll receive this offering. Again, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for these missionaries and for the work that they're doing for the church there in Mexico City, and for these men that are carrying on the ministry even now. And we pray that you'd continue to bless the Allensons as they continue their furlough until July. And pray that you'd just watch over them and help them as they go from place to place and give them the strength that they need for each and every situation. Thank you, Lord, for them and for their willingness to serve. And we pray that we might all be willing to serve as well. We thank you that we can have a part in their ministry through our gifts and offerings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love and for our Heavenly Father, the communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon us both now and forevermore. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.